the prophets long to see the time that we're seeing right now. Things are moving so fast over there and here and everywhere. Father, we thank you and praise you that you're in control, and we thank you and praise you that we can look at your word and know that your word is true and that your word stands. Father, we pray for those people over there. We pray for those especially that are taking a stand for you, that believe in the blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. We just ask that you just watch over them and guard over them, and you also have told us in your word, Father, to really lift up Jerusalem and to lift up Israel, and we want to pray for them right now. They're right in the midst of it. The enemy wants to wipe them off the face of the earth, and we know what your word declares. Your word declares that that's not going to happen. And Father, we thank you and praise you for that. We just speak wisdom to them, Lord. We speak protection over them and over Jerusalem and over Israel. And we speak protection over those in the Arab countries too, Lord. We know that there's many. We don't hear it on the news, but many is coming into the kingdom of God and at this time there. And Father, we thank you and praise you for them and speak protection over their lives. And we just thank you for what you're doing in this time, Father. And that the power of your spirit is moving. And we just give you the glory. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, it's been an interesting couple of days, and probably all of you have the same thing. It seems like different things seem to happen to try to get us down, but I'm amazed that when our tire went flat on the way up here that it just didn't bother me a bit. I just said, well, we'll just pull over, and I hope the donut's up and everything, and we'll put the donut on it, and we'll get there when we get there. And the ongoing saga of my pulling buddy is interesting, and what's been going on there. I pulled over at Royal Center Friday night, and I came up to him, and he had a friend with him, and he said, hey, this is that guy that's got that religious stuff all over the side of his tractor. And I said, Dave, it's not religion. It's not religion. I said, I love Jesus. I said, religion killed Jesus. It isn't religious. And he keeps saying, oh man, says, I gotta watch how I talk around you. And he finally said, I never seen anybody like you. And so we're just gonna keep after him and see if we can love him into the kingdom. He's a really a rough guy, and it's just interesting that I have loved on him, and he's taken to me, and that is we're just gonna see what happens there. I know there's time that we need to be tough, but there's a time also that we need to just love them. And so it's just interesting what's going on there. And then today I was in the house, and I was studying and looking at the word, and looked out, and Jehovah Witnesses pulled up. And I thought, yes, all right, another opportunity. You know, I used to hide from them and everything, just wouldn't go to the door. I said, no. Them guys need saved, man. Let's go after them, you know? So I walked out there, and he had his little booklet, you know, and he says, boy, things are moving fast now and everything, and you probably are needing to know truth. And that's what he said, truth. And I said, hey, I said, I'm glad you mentioned that. I said, I know the truth. I said, his name is Jesus Christ. And I said, he was. And he is, now this is the throws nerve theology all over the place, and he always will be. And I said, he is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and I love him. And he says, goodbye, sir, and turned around and walked. And I thought, hey, I thought you wanted truth. Come on. You know, so they just left. I thought, gee, this was no fun. I wanted to go a little longer with them, you know, we need to do that. Give them something to think about anyway. Praise God. It's been an interesting. Well, I didn't know what to do today. I didn't want to get into tonight and whatever. I kind of want to do just kind of a little Bible study-like thing. You know the bracelet that they wear, WWJD, or WWJ? Yeah. Well, I thought, let's make it WDJD. Something like, what did Jesus do? And so we want to look at some situations, and because sometimes we get some ideas, and we'll just look at situations and see what he actually did in each one of them. So I kind of just started from when he was a little boy, and got some scriptures of just in different situations. And I thought we would just look at them and kind of discuss and whatever, you know. We can be free tonight. We have been free tonight. Wasn't it neat? Wasn't the worship good? Wow. Boy, it's just so good to get in His presence. So, Luke, we do a lot in Luke. We'll do some in Matthew. Luke's a doctor. Luke covers a lot of the physical things when we get into the miracles and stuff. Luke covers them pretty good. But Luke chapter 2, verse 41, we want to start there and just look at when he was a little boy. He was 12. Jesus was 12 years old. 12 years old. Luke 2, verse 41, and his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back and again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking questions. And all of them heard him, were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And he said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me, which wist ye not know that I must be about my father's business?" So Jesus at 12 years old was about his father's business. Isn't that neat? We need to be about our father's business. 12-year-old boy, he was listening to them, and he was asking, and he was answering questions with them. And he goes on a little bit after that and says in verse 52 that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and favor with man. And the point I wanted to make on this one was that, how is it that ye sought me? Don't you know that I must be about my father's business? I wanted to see that. So he knew at 12 years old that he needed to be about his father's business, and that's what he was doing. Now, let's go to another one here. In Matthew 3:13. Matthew 3:13. We see a different situation. "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. And John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and you comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said to him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened up unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So you know, we know at this point that as John baptized him, the Holy Spirit came. And the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. We see this is one of the few places, but we see all three persons of God that was present at the same time. Jesus was there. The Holy Spirit descended like a dove and lighted upon him, and the voice came from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And so he was getting ready to start his ministry. And you go into chapter 4, and we find out that instantly he was taken into the wilderness. And how many of us have been into wilderness? How many of us had wilderness experiences? I mean, how many of us in a wilderness experience right now? Do you realize that when Jesus was in the wilderness experience, that He was getting prepared for ministry. There is nothing wrong with that. Fact of the matter is, a lot of times, and we don't like that, we're like when you, I used to use a potter, and when the potter makes the, they put it up and they glaze it and they do all that and they put it up on the shelf and let it set and let it get to the proper texture and hardness and everything so that it will be strong. Our wilderness experiences makes us strong. And we see one thing that Jesus did in the wilderness, and I don't want to get into that one too much, into the wilderness experience, but one of the things that he did was use the word. What did Jesus do? Not what would Jesus do, but what did Jesus do? He used the word. When the enemy came against him, every time he used the word. And so we need to be like Jesus and use the word, and quote the word. That's the reason we know the word. We need to be in the word. And quote the word to the enemy, and that's all we need to do. The word says this. And what did the enemy finally do after the third time? The enemy departed. Hallelujah. So Jesus was baptized. The Holy Spirit came upon him, and the Father said he was well pleased. Then he went into the wilderness, and the enemy tried to, knowing what was coming, was trying to destroy what was about to happen. We know that didn't work. Jesus quoted the word. The enemy had to leave. And that was in 4:1. It talks about that. Now, chapter 10:2 in Matthew. We're going to be in Matthew yet. And there's nothing, there's no specifically order here, but I just wanted to look at some things and see just what Jesus done in each of those situations. In 10:2, he named the disciples, or he called them, and it gives the names in 10:2. In 10:1, it said, and when he had called unto his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manners of diseases and all manner of disease. And then he called them 12 disciples, and we know later that he sent the 12 out and commanded them to go forth. It says the down in verse 5, the 12 Jesus sent forth, and he commanded them, saying, go not the way of the Gentiles, but go unto the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this is what he told them to do. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Where do we hear that? We hear that before. That was one of the last things he said and told us to do. The very same thing. So in this situation, he gave them power. Now the Holy Spirit, we know that as the pastor's been talking about the Holy Spirit and the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit did not come upon them until Pentecost, and we've been celebrating that and looking at that and realizing that we're on the other side of that, and we have the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit in us more so than they did at this time. But when he sent them out, he gave them power, and he gave them power to do what? To preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom. To preach the kingdom. And to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils. Freely you receive, freely you give. Let's go jump right over to verse 20. And remember, as we're ministering, as we're doing things, Jesus says in verse 20, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Now that ought to set us free just a little bit. It is not me that speaks, but it's the Spirit of the Father that is in me speaks, okay? If I'm obedient and I'm listening to the Lord, it's not me. You know, me can't do a whole lot. I can't do a whole lot. But when I allow the Spirit of the Father, who he has put in us now, we're on the other side of Pentecost, to speak, we see things happen. And I thought that was an interesting verse. I hadn't really seen that before, but when Jesus said that. Let's get another situation here. One of the things there, in also in that, is when they returned also, they said that, man, even the devils flee. And in one of the other books, it talks about they all flee. And he said, well, that's great, but the most important thing is your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But when they went out, you got to realize these guys, this is one of the things I think ought to really encourage us. In that situation, you get over in one of the other book, when he sent them out, these guys were not trained in some theological cemetery and some big school and whatever. These guys were green. He had just called them. And he sent them out. Now, you notice he gave them power before he sent them. He gave them power. But they didn't go on their experience and on them. I don't go on me, but they went on, if we go on the power of the Spirit, things are going to happen. And when they went out, things happened. The sick were healed. Demons were kicked out. Lepers were cleansed. Dead people were raised. I mean, things happened. Why? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. The power that was in them. And not them. And so, I sometimes wonder about all the schooling and some, and there's good things in all of that. There really is. But, these guys didn't have, I mean, what were they? They were fishermen. They were some of them were the low life. And yet, Jesus immediately entrusted them and sent them out and seen the power of the Holy Spirit flow and move through them mightily. So don't say, I can't do that. I haven't had all that training. One of the things we're going to see that Jesus did, and we're not going to look at a whole lot of scriptures on that, but we know that he did, is he spent a lot of time with the Father. He spent a lot of time in prayer with the Father. And he spent enough time with the Father and knowing and the Holy Spirit after he was baptized. We see in the Holy Spirit flowing through him. He operated in the gifts of the Spirit, and he knew what was going to happen that day, and he knew who he was supposed to minister to. And when we spend time with the Father and spend time on our knees, we'll know what to do, and we'll know when we see that person at Walmart or wherever it is, the Spirit will come on us right away, and we say, I need to minister to that person. And we will minister to that person, and things will happen because God has been preparing the way. John 11:1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary, which anointed the Lord with the ointment that wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when he heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, he saith to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. And his disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews have laid of salt to stone thee, and to goest after thou again. And Jesus answered and said, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. If any man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. And these things he said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awaketh him out of the sleep. And he said to the disciples, then the disciples said, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Albeit Jesus spoke of his death, and they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest and sleep. And then Jesus came and said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Verse 20. Martha, as soon as she heard Jesus was coming, went out and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatever thou wilt ask of the Lord, God will give it to thee. And Jesus said to her, thy brother shall rise again. Hallelujah. Martha saith unto him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? And she said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so, she went her way, and she called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come, and he calleth for thee. And soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. And the Jews which were with her in the house and comforted her, and they saw Mary, and she rose and hastily went out, followed her, saying, She goeth into the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, Where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And then Jesus wept. And then said the Jews, Behold, how he must loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused even this man should not have died? And Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound foot and hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. Now there's a whole bunch in that, but I just want to look at a couple facts of what did Jesus do. And Jesus knew in the spirit what all was going on. He wanted to wait so that God would be exalted, so that he was dead, and that's what he did. And his little prayer, and most of the time, a lot of times we pray over situations, and one of the points that we're going to see is most of the time Jesus just spoke to the situation. That's one thing maybe I need to tell you ahead of time now as we go through so that we can see that. He just spoke to the situation, and we are to do the same thing. Now, we'll see the one situation where about the fasting and prayer, but the reason he prayed a little prayer here and said this is so that they would hear and believe. And then with a loud voice, he cried, Lazarus, come forth. He spoke. Faith, the word, and speaking it forth. And we know what happened. Lazarus came forth and he said, Loose him. I don't know how he came forth. Wouldn't that be amazing? How did he come forth? All wrapped up like that. They had to loose him. Maybe he just kind of floated out. I don't know. It's an interesting situation because he couldn't do anything because Jesus said, Loose him and let him go. What an awesome time. Jesus spoke to the dead, and he was resurrected. Now, back to Matthew 21:12. Let's go a little different situation. Matthew 21:12. I don't want to get into any of these deep. I mean, you could preach a sermon on all of them. I just want to look at, kind of put a bunch of them together and see what Jesus did on different situations. There are similarities, and then there's times he does it different too. Matthew chapter 21, verse 12. Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said to them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were sore displeased. They were angry. And said unto him, "Hearing thou what these say?" And Jesus said unto them, "Ye have ye never read that out of the mouths of babes, sucklings, has perfected praise?" That's out of Psalms. So there is a time to have righteous anger. None of these are new. I think most of you know these. I had a jail ministry for 26 years down in Miami County, and I used to say, well, we would get into, you know, Noah or something that was common, and I'd say, well, you guys know that, and no, we don't. I wasn't thinking, you know, a lot of them that hadn't had any training at all in the Word of God didn't know any of that stuff, really, so I would have to go back and explain it. But most of these, we know all this, but I just wanted to look at some of the things that, exactly what he did. He went in and he threw them out. And do you think he did not speak in this situation, just to the situation, but he took a whip, and I would imagine he probably had to hit a couple of them. And then look what happened. In the temple, the blind and the lame came to him, and he healed them. And then the children started praising him and hollering Hosanna and giving him glory. And the Pharisees and all the Sadducees and all of those characters started getting upset and really mad. And so he quotes Psalms 1, I believe it was, to him. "Have you not heard that out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise?" Glory to God. So there is a time for anger. We'll see most of the time, you know, I was thinking of my situation with Dave and we're going to see the woman at the well and some different situations with Jesus. When he got upset and when he got really after him and spoke pretty harsh, it was to the religious characters. It was to the Pharisees and those guys is the ones he got after that claimed to be righteous and holy. And yet, as he just bluntly told them, you look like a nice clean sepulcher, but on the inside, you're just like one. You're all rotten and no good. I mean, he talked pretty strong to those guys. But to the lost, pretty gentle sometimes. A lot of times. John 13:1, another situation. This is an interesting situation. I came from a brethren background, so we used to do this one quite a bit. John 13:1. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, and that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And the supper being ended, and the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and he went to God, he rises from supper. He laid aside his garments, and he took a towel, and he girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash his disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherein he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Jesus saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered and said, If I wash not your feet, thou hast no part with me. Peter changed his tune real quick, and he said unto the Lord, Not only my feet, but my hands and my head. And Jesus said, He that washeth needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. And he was speaking of Judas there. Let me go on. So after he had washed their feet in verse 12 and had taken his garments and had sat down again and said to them, know ye what I have done to you? And ye call me master and Lord, and ye say so well, for I am. But if I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also need to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, and neither that is he sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. What did Jesus do here? Jesus was humble. Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. I had really an experience at a church camp one time, and like I said, we went to a brethren church and we had a feet washing when I was probably high school age, early high school, freshman, sophomore in there, somewhere in that vicinity of age anyway. And there'd be about 80 kids there at the camp. And we had the communion service, and we'd had what we call the full communion, not only the supper, but we would, and the cup and the wine, but we would wash feet. And as we went to that service, from our dorms, we were singing, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. And he will lift you up higher and higher. And he will lift you up. I can still remember that. Still gives me goosebumps of 80 teenagers singing that as we walked over and then washed each other's feet. We need to humble ourselves in the sight of God. We need to humble ourselves in the sight of fellow man. Jesus can work through that mightily. There's a lot of places where they set a lot of the people and they set them up high and they exalt them and whatever. And praise God for our pastor. And he talks against that. There's not a one of us any higher than anybody else. Jesus didn't hold himself any higher in esteem. He felt that he needed to show them, and the way to show them was to bend down and to wash their feet. So as we minister in humility. We realize again that what we said a while ago, that is the Spirit of God operating in us and through us. Without the Spirit of God, we won't accomplish anything. It is not us. It is not how great I am. Look how powerful I am. But it's the Holy Spirit in us. So Jesus humbled himself here before them. And it was a interesting situation. John 17 is another thing that Jesus did. And I don't know. We probably ought to read the whole. It's a very interesting chapter. John 17 is really the Lord's Prayer. It's the model prayer where he gives us our Father. But John 17, the whole chapter really is, and what we're talking about is what did Jesus do? And we're going to find out in this chapter, Jesus was praying for the disciples, but we're also going to see as we get further through the chapter, he was praying for you and me. Okay? Jesus prayed for us. These words spake Jesus, lifting verse 1, up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. And as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, and the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth, and I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I have with thee before the world was. There's that situation again. The guys I spoke to today don't believe he was before the world was. And that's the reason I made that statement. I thought, well, we'll just start it off with a bang and see where it goes. And they didn't want to speak to me anymore, and they left. I have manifested my name unto men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. And they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. And I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me, and I pray for them. And I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Jesus was praying for unity, that we would be one. Hallelujah. That we would be one as he and the Father was, and he's given all the thine and mine and everything is the unity that he's talking about there. And the King James gets kind of funny there in the King James, but that's the whole point. He's praying for them and he's praying for us that we might be one. And as I go on, we will see that. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, and thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Hallelujah. Joy of the Lord. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, and even as I am not of the world, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil. So there he's praying protection over us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through truth. You want to know truth? Thy word is truth. And thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might also be sanctified through the truth. And now, neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word. That is us. Jesus is praying that prayer over us, that they may all be one. Do you realize if we walk in that oneness and the fullness of that the power that would, and we're going to, and we are, and this is an awesome group of believers here, and we're going to see some mighty things happen. Do we all think exactly the same thing? No, we don't. We're different parts of the body, but yet the body is one. Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father is three different entities, totally different persons, but yet they are one. And that's what he is praying over us, to be the oneness, the fullness of the body with him as the head. And when we walk in the fullness of that, there's mighty and awesome things going to transpire, I'm telling you. And it's going to get exciting. And we praise you for that, Lord. And they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So the unity is going to show unbelievers, the power of God. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. He repeats it several times. He wants to get the point across. And in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, and that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, and that thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. There it is again. O righteousness, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. I thank you and praise you for that, Jesus. I thank you for that prayer. I thank you for that unity that will flow in the midst of this believers and even in the midst of this city and even in the midst of your church, even in, as our sister said earlier, those over in Iraq and Iran and those that are in love with you, that there is a unity in your body and your church that is powerful. And I thank you and praise you for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My goodness, time gets away, don't it? I wanted to look at several of the miracles and things yet, but we're running out of time. One of the points, as you look at the miracles and things and see that Jesus did, one of the main points that I wanted to make and wanted you to see and wanted you to know, that very seldom, now we know in James it tells us to come and it tells us to lay hands and to anoint and to pray for the sick. So I'm not saying we don't pray. There's times we do pray. But the biggest share of the time, Jesus spoke to the situation. He spoke the word. He commanded the demons to come out. He spoke healing. Once in a while he touched them. And then he would go, and we're just going to wrap this up and not get in. I was going to look at several of them. But he would go do something like spitting in the dirt and making mud and putting it on your eyes so that you could see. Now, why do you suppose he done that? I mean, I think he done those things is so that we would not get a religion of whatever. We would make a religion out of it. Ever how he done it? If he done it basically the same way every time, this is the way we do it. And we do that now. We make a religion out of it instead of listening to the Spirit. And he would listen to the Spirit, so he done it a lot of different ways. I mean, we would get in trouble probably today if I made some mud and spit and put it in somebody's eyes. I better make sure that it was God before I do that, because I'm probably going to get thrown in jail if they get healed, you know, and they would if it was God, you know, it would be all right. I want to cover just something right quick here. Look in the back of your Bible and find the miracles of God and just go through some of them. It is so exciting sometimes just to see that. But I want to look at Acts chapter 1 real quick and then go to Revelation. And I go, what did Jesus do? And that's where all the miracles and things, and we've been talking about what did Jesus do, but what's Jesus going to do? And I want to look at Acts 1 here. It says, he commanded there in verse 8 that we will receive the power after the Holy Ghost has come upon us, and we shall be witnesses to both Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And then we go down here in verse 11, which also said, ye men Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come like manner that ye may, as you have seen him, go into heaven. Ha, ha, ha. Right up ahead of that, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, and they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Go back to Revelation 1. Some people get all wrapped up in Revelation. Oh, Revelation is just so, it's a revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ and his coming back. Of all the things that the devil and the enemy is going to do, no, the key verse of Revelation is verse 7. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Verse 8, which was what I got written across my tractor, I'm pulling to the Omega. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So just as we saw him go up into the cloud, it says here he is going to return in the cloud. I am the Alpha and the Omega. And I thought of that, you know, as I was trying to come up with something to put on my side panels of my tractor, and I've got pulling to the Omega. And as I told Dave, I says that means that's Greek for the ending or end. And I said, you know, I'm pulling to the end of the track. And also, with the picture of Christ coming on a white horse, which I got the picture of the tractor underneath, and then a picture of Christ coming on the white horse, and with the sword and the word written on the sword, and I said, it may be till he comes in the sky, and that may be, I'll be pulling till he comes in the sky. And so that's the reason he thinks I'm a little crazy. And he says, I've never seen anybody quite like you, but, we're going to stay after him. Jesus went up into the cloud. We're going to see him. And I'm telling you what Debbie brought up and what's going on in the earth today. You know, I never used to, a few years ago, I would have not thought, I mean, you know, I would have liked to, but have not thought that I may be a generation that sees Jesus come. I'm telling you though, right now, I'm not sure that every one of us sitting here might see that transpire. Isn't that awesome? Not only what did Jesus do, what's Jesus going to do? He's going to set up a kingdom here on this earth for 1,000 years. Hallelujah. A perfected kingdom. If you don't mess up and goof up, you will live for all the way through that. Those that are here, you know, and then we're going to live for an eternity with him. What an awesome God. What did Jesus do? He provided, as we were singing, he provided everything for us. He is our provider. Glory to God. Even in these times when the days go, when things don't go good, we got to realize that he is still God, as we sang. I like that song. He is God. Doesn't change it a bit. We don't see something happen sometimes when we pray. That doesn't change the word. The word is truth. Hallelujah. He is truth. I told the guys today, I know truth. I know the truth. That don't mean I know everything that's going on, but I know the truth. The truth is Jesus Christ. And he is our Lord, and he is our Savior, and he is our provider, and he is our protection. Hallelujah. And he is coming again in the clouds. I need to sing a song right quick, and we'll close with that. This song's going to ask a question. All of you, you've heard this song, I'm sure. He has fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand. He's riding a white horse across this land. He has fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand. He's riding a white horse across this land. He's calling out to you and me, will you ride with me? He's fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand. He's riding a white horse across this land. He's calling out to you and me, will you ride with me? What are we going to say? We'll say yes, yes, Lord, we will ride with you. We'll say, yes, Lord, we will ride with you. We will stand up and fight. We will ride with the armies of heaven. We'll be dressed in white. We'll say, yes, yes, Lord, we will ride. He's a crown on his head, carries a scepter in his hand. He's leading the armies across this land. He's calling out to you and me, will you ride with me? And we'll say yes, yes, Lord, we will ride with you. Fire in his eyes, it's his love for his bride, his longing that she be with him right by his side. The fire in his eyes is his burning desire that his bride be with him right by his side. He's calling out to us right now. Will you ride with me? What are we going to say? We'll say yes, Lord. Sing it with me. Yes, Lord. We'll say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And we'll say yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And we'll say said, amen. Hallelujah. You're dismissed.